Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, Adam Ray's going to hang. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. I'm going to go on an epic rant about kids running the world. We'll do the news as well. But first, Guy Code. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. You want to save money? You want to put it all under one tent and make it easy? You go to geico.com. They make it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you bundle with Geico. So, geico.com today. Get your bundle going at geico.com.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks. And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Well, we may have a chance because Bald Brian isn't here, and he's been catching me at the end almost every week. So
the comeback kid, huh?
Yeah. He has been. Well, he gives you a choice. He'll either dominate out of the gate, or he'll give you a little bit of a lead, and then on the last one, just hit you right in that center lane, man. Just park it, park it right in that center lane, man. Dry.
Well, right onto the median.
Yeah.
Puts it neutral, too. Doesn't even want to come to a full stop.
That's right.
All right.
California
what do we got?
Roll.
All right. Valentine's Day is upon us, and love is in the air. Even before the days of Romeo and Juliet, humans have gravitated to stories about forbidden love. But sometimes the most surprising relationships are the ones that last the longest. This week, we're featuring movies with very unlikely couples, and before you ask, unfortunately, Taboo 2 does not have a Rotten Tomatoes score.
Ooh.
Our first film is the ultimate May-to-December romance about the love that forms between a 20-year-old boy and an 80-year-old woman.
This is one of my favorite movies in the world.
The two meet at a funeral and explore the meaning of life together through their beautiful, but let's face it, kind of cringy relationship. Bud Cort and Ruth Gordon star in 1971's Harold and Maude.
I love this movie. The soundtrack is amazing. It's all Cat Stevens. At the time, Cat Stevens even said, if you want to hear this music, you can't buy it. You have to go see this movie.
Wow.
Now,
it's a power move.
I saw the movie a million years ago. I can't tell if it's weird or good or like holds up. Like at times it's good. My son and I, my son was saying, like, I've seen... My son's getting into movies, and he's getting into directors, and he's wanting to watch directors, you know? Oh. And so he had, like, Stanley Kubrick, you know? And he was like, he didn't like The Shining, so I made him sleep outside for, like, 2 days.
Yeah, that's a good move. People say that's a slow burn movie. It's not.
It is, but it's good. I mean,
but it's not boring. I mean,
no.
There's even watching the kid on the big wheels is terrifying because of the way it's shot.
It's great. And then he watched 2001 Space Odyssey, and he's like, I'm bored. Like, yeah. I don't want to see Kubrick.
Oh,
and then, so I say to him, why don't we go watch the first hour of Full Metal Jacket? Because that's a Kubrick film. And,
right.
And the great Gunny, Arlie Ermey.
Yep.
I fucking miss that guy. I don't miss half the people that died in the last 5 years, but I miss Arlie Ermey. I fucking love that guy. And I was like, you want to watch a performance? Watch this guy. And I said the first hour's, you know, really good, first 45 minutes, and then, you know, becomes kind of average. He watched the whole thing and announced he loved it. It's always weird when you're sitting there with your son and the part where all the soldiers are sitting out front and the Vietnamese guy comes pulling up with the Vietnamese teenage chick, and he's like, me sucky fucky long time, you know, and it's like $10, buku, buku, and it's like, oh, the black guy pulls up, and she's like, buku, his dick's too big, you know, and I'm like, I'm just sitting next to my son going, I don't know, do I explain how the world really works, or, look, here's,
I think he just did.
First off, first things first, son, as far as the blowjobs go, $10, this is 1969 Danang.
Yeah.
You understand?
There's, this is back in the day.
Right. So understand when blowjobs were going for 10 bucks in Hanoi, understand that gas was 41 cents a gallon. You understand?
Right. Don't look for that kind of bargain today.
Yeah. So just do the same basic math.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Smart. This is when Vivian Pickles was co-starring in films. Times have changed.
Right. So now there's this movie and Harold and Kumar. So
Harold and Maude.
Sorry, Harold and Maude. Sorry.
Harold and Maude go to White Castle.
Yes. it's not that. It's not that. It's only half a faux pas. It's just
That's
a
right.
faux. Yeah. It's not really
That's
the
right.
paw. You're right. Actually, it was just the paw part because it was the Harold and Maude.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yep. Now, we go back to, he's talking about Stanley Kubrick, and he says, what about Clockwork Orange? Mm. And I go, I said, I can't remember if that movie's great or just weird.
Right.
You know, like there's a lot of iconic movies where you go, oh, that's an iconic movie. And I go, yeah, but maybe it's just weird. I don't know that it's actually good. And I'm going to say Harold and Maude could be weird. I watched it. I remember kind of liking it, but there were two things that were going on with this movie. You have the Cat Stevens soundtrack, which is always going to be good.
Great.
And they had a Jaguar XJ or XKE, which was done up to look like a funeral home hearse. So it had a novelty car and a great soundtrack, and back in the 70s, that was about enough to be a good movie.
Right.
Adam, how old was the kid again?
You've never seen it, right?
No. I just realized that this wasn't pure luck with Martin Short, so I'm still a couple beats behind. Now, how old was the kid, and how
He's
old 20. Was Mom?
20, and she's about to turn 80. And it's the juxtaposition is he's kind of obsessed with death, and he's morbid, and you know, but he's young, and she's full of life, and you know, rebellious, and loves living until she doesn't. And I don't know, maybe I saw it in college, and so I was kind of swept away in it. So maybe it sucks, but I have fond memories of watching it many times.
Now, do you think the movie could have been served better if the kid was younger, like if he was like, I don't know, 10, 11, because
right.
you see a lot of those now. Yeah. Like there's that movie, I don't know what it's called, Arnold Timberlake and some young kid. And
oh, Palmer.
We've now seen a ton of the, you know, About a Boy, Bill Murray and St. Vincent, of the old man, old gal with a kid, and they teach each other lessons. Did this have a little bit of that or not, because he was 20 and he's like, look, Maude, I've already fingered six chicks, so there's not too much more you're going to teach me. Or was he like an inexperienced 20-year-old recluse that was kind of like, look, I think we can both get something out of this. Let's not kill each other. Make me a
Yeah, I don't know if this makes you want to watch it more or less, but I think one of the plot points is she is his first.
Oh, yeah. Kind of. They had a few of these. They had this Summer 52. Which is another movie about this kind of relationship, except for the woman was like 30. All right, let's
wait real quick.
Guess.
At what point of the movie do they get it on?
Midway.
Ooh,
yeah.
So you get the rest of the flick to kind of watch the
the refractory
watch him
period.
Deal with the aftermath.
That's right. That's
She's
right.
probably like, "Don't be so weird about it, huh? What, have you never seen a center lane before?" And he's like, "Well, not in the dark."
Yeah.
Bullshit, you haven't seen this, Adam.
There wasn't.
I haven't.
Back in the
I've
day.
Seen Shanghai Nights six times, though, in the theater.
Back in the day, there wasn't a lot that didn't make the cut for my spank bank. You know, it was a really low bar.
What about Ruth Gordon?
I've now, since I have a more discerning palate in terms of what makes it into the spank bank. But back then, it would be like, you look at a young Adam spank bank and what can gain entry into that facility, I mean, I'd go to Big Five and look at the fucking box that a raft came in and go, who's that hottie? She's floating on that raft. All right, she's in. She's in the spank bank. Wow. I fell in love with a chick on a raft box when I was 14. But this did not make it into the spank bank. So I don't know if that's going to hurt. I say this is an iconic film. Critics love the theme of this. And I say 81%.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I feel strongly about this. I hope I'm right. 83.
I'm going to $1 both you guys. I feel like this was a fan favorite. I feel like it's become a cult classic. And just the way that you guys speak about it makes me feel like that it's closer to 85%.
Adam Ray's got to start going first.
Yeah. Get a cocktail napkin and see if you can get a ballpoint from that Guatemalan chick. And she'll be like, yes, Mr. Pacino, right away.
Hoo-ha! Give me a ballpoint pen and a box of Wheat Thins. Hoo-ha!
All right, so just a reminder of the rules to Adam Ray. You must come up with your score before everyone announces their scores. Someone hit a bullseye.
Oh, no.
Better not be Adam Ray.
And that someone is Adam Ray.
Oh!
Come on!
Harold and Maude
no.
is certified fresh at 85%.
Five-point deduction.
Okay. No. I don't think he gets a deduction for this. I think we all learned something about writing our scores down.
He's in a facility that does not have pants.
I can do it on a little electronic keypad.
You just go first.
I'll just go first every time. How about that?
Now I'm angry.
What's Bud Cort? Why do I feel like Bud Cort's a producer or something? Or like,
do you remember the movie But I'm a Cheerleader with Natasha Lyonne? Okay, he was in that. That's the last thing I've seen. Kind of an offbeat movie about her going to like a one of those camps where it makes you un-gay.
Oh, okay. So we're all versus starring in the movie Cruising, which makes you gay.
Right. Yes.
I wonder if Pacino had to go to an un-gay camp after rapping Cruising to wash it out of his hair.
He's method.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, this isn't just about whatever happens on set. By the way, if your little one is doing by director, Andy and I just finished all of Christopher Nolan's movies. Inception, Memento, Dark Knight. He would never leave the movie theater if he went to Christopher Nolan next.
What about Cocoon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a great movie. You know, Wilford Brimley was 49, I think.
Or whatever that story
looks 89.
Is.
9 right. years too late to be gay in a movie.
All right. What's our next one, Dawson?
Next up, one of the sexiest actors alive plays a socially awkward loner who finds it impossible to make friends or find love. But thanks to the internet, Ryan Gosling finally has a new girlfriend to show off, only she's not exactly a mail-order bride. When Lars begins parading around his newly purchased sex doll, the whole family plays along with his very strange delusions. From 2007, Lars and the Real Girl.
Anybody see this?
Yeah, no, love it. One of my faves.
I heard it was great. And so in this particular case, see, I think you take the movie and you take the execution and the acting and the writing and everything that is the movie and you come up with a score. Then there is a societal score, which is the wokest people in the world review movies. So are we going to deduct a few points because of the theme, or are we going to add a few points because of the theme? This particular film, I heard, was a great film. So you're going to get a good score. And then I think we're going to bump it up a little bit because of its kind of wokeness, coolness, kind of openness or whatever. I feel like critically, the critics would like the theme of it. So, Adam Ray's going to go first after Gina and I lock it in.
He center laned us.
Go ahead, Adam Ray.
Well, I agree with you. I've seen the movie. I know the fans enjoyed it. I know you got Gosling doing something where he wasn't just plowing away on someone, and he got to do a little flex the acting muscle a little bit more, being in love with a doll. And spoiler alert. And I'm going to go 78%.
Hmm. I gave it a good movie, and I gave it a little bump for the theme. I gave it 88%.
Interesting. Ooh. I'm right there with Adam Ray. I said 79%.
Damn you. Well, Lars and the Real Girl is certified fresh at 81%.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. That was
I'll take that.
Yeah, this is a close game.
Next film is about an awkward loner who's unable to connect with people in the traditional way. But in the very near future, a new operating system is able to develop its own intuitive and unique personality. And so what begins as a basic iPhone Siri relationship soon blossoms into a full-fledged romance. Joaquin Phoenix stars alongside the voice of Scarlett Johansson in 2013's Her.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Phil?
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I have a very close relationship with my phone. You know, it's where I get most of my information. It's where most of my contacts are. You know, I'll FaceTime with Robin every now and then. I'll send her recipe ideas or dick pics. But, you know, I don't use Siri as much as I want to. I've used it twice. Siri, who wrote Caribbean Queen? And the other one was Siri.
Billy Ocean.
Okay, well, see, and there you go. See, Siri didn't even know that. So that makes me question the phone and its intelligence. But Joaquin Phoenix, I trust anything he does, okay? If I saw him walk right into a gangbang with two condoms on, one pre-cut, I'd follow him right in there. But I digress. I think this movie, it was ahead of its time. I think the phone had Yacht Rock had not yet got... I'm going to give this movie a certified giant filler up, as I like to say, in my new coffee table book, where I explore the ins and outs of young genital, a young animated genital wart named Toby, and his experience through the label. I'm going to give this movie a hard 87%.
Oh, wow.
People love Phoenix.
I heard the movie was good, but I didn't hear a lot about it. And
it snuck up on you.
It's also kind of the ones that I think critics would like because it's kind of weird and it's got those things in place. But I didn't hear a ton about it other than it seemed good. I'm going to go back to your guys, 79.
Yeah. I think there was some critical acclaim around this, but I watched the first, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. At one point, I got bored, turned it off. And as Brian would say, nobody has said, oh, you have to see Her, which I think is an indication. So, but I know people liked it. I'll say 75.
Mm. Her is certified fresh at 94%.
Oh!
No way.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about.
And the critics, and sorry, the audience has it at 82. So this must have had some, there must be some extra woke points going on in this film.
And wasn't the voice Scarlett Johansson?
Yes.
Yes. Dude, that right there is enough to get that tomato meter up to close to 100 because Scarlett Johansson could tell me I have leukemia and I'd still come.
Good to know, Doc.
All right. Next.
Right, don't act like you all haven't thought that, okay? That awkward silence let me know that we might be taking a commercial break, but since we're keeping it here, let's go to our next movie, Doss.
Next, we feature a story of two step-siblings who get off on making other people miserable, but clearly just want to bang each other. Things get even more uncomfortable when both parties attempt to seduce a virgin, but end up catching real feelings instead. Adapted from the classic French novel Les Liaisons de Drossard, Ryan Phillippe, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Reese Witherspoon star in 1999's Cruel Intentions.
Saw it in the theater.
Whoa!
Yeah, this movie was fucking hot. I'll say that. I'll say that 10 times over. Now, real quick, is it Phillippe? Dawson just said something real Phillippe or Phillippe?
Gary told me I said it wrong. I don't remember how I said it. But Filipino.
Oh. There it is.
Ryan Phillippe.
Phillippe.
I don't know.
Phillippe.
Either way, that is a face on a poster. Like, whoever directed this movie poster goes, all right, now, Ryan, I'm not gay, but if I was, how would you try to pick me up at the Cheesecake Factory? And action.
All right. Now, this is going to be tough because this ain't a, you know, the last few films we're talking about are going to be somewhere between, you know, all the films we talk about, somewhere between like 80 and 90 or somewhere in that neighborhood. This thing could be, you know, decent at 58, 60, 62, somewhere in there, but it could also be a 20-26er. So there's some room here.
Big swing.
There's some gappage here. All right. I'm in.
Yep.
Adam Ray.
Well, I know my kids, they were at the ripe age to see this film when it came out. I believe in, well, I'm going to say 95, 96, 97, Doss, is that right?
99.
Okay, close enough, you dick. But it was, you know, it had that movie vibe of, I'm going to see this again at home by myself. Because if you remember, Gina, there was a makeout scene.
I haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert, there's some hardcore lesbo action, okay?
Really? Between Sarah Michelle Gellar and Reese?
No, not Reese. Selma Blair is also in this picture.
Oh, damn.
Wait, I think you may have... she's in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, and they kiss. And yeah, you think, yeah, I'm going to forget a Selma Blair kiss?
No.
But they get into it, and it's real exciting. But I think you're right, Adam. This movie could have a low score based on its not national appeal. But I think because of the lesbo stuff and Philip and Ryan, I'm going to go just above my favorite position, and we're going to go 70%.
Oh, okay. I went low. I went 39.
I went with your top score when you were theorizing. I said it's barely rotten, 58.
Cruel Intentions is rotten, but barely at 55.
Oh, damn.
Fucking shitballs.
I can listen to myself.
Listen to yourself.
Oh, boy.
Maybe. I listen to you. It helps.
Close game. I think Gina's in the... Well, this is close.
Finally.
It was pretty bad.
Of all the unlikely relationships that have been featured over the years, only one love story has truly stood the test of time. It was love at first sight, and their loyalty toward one another is seen and never questioned across more than 10 films. But let's go back to the very beginning, when a banjo-playing frog first makes eyes with a hammy wannabe actress with Hollywood dreams. Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy share an unexpected rainbow connection in 1979's The Muppet Movie.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. One of the best of all time.
I mean, it's
arguably the best Muppet movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Did not see it.
Come on.
But it's a classic ad.
They love these. They love these movies.
Yeah.
A lot of good puns.
Jim Henson was a goddamn genius, and he got Kermit to ride a bike.
That's
this
right.
is the first time we saw Muppets do people things, really.
I went down to Henson's studio many years ago.
Cool.
It was in, what was his, was it Imagine Something? No, that was, I'm trying to think of what, Imagine Something? Or he had, his studios were called something.
I think just Jim Henson Studios over on La Brea, yeah?
Yeah.
No.
You know, with like Kermit on the statue up front?
Yeah.
I went to Northern California. I don't know, Gary, you might be able to figure it out. I don't know if it
they
was.
Might have had a creature shop up there. Is
I
that
don't
where
know
you went?
If it was in like Seattle or someplace like that. They did. All right. So, Gary, here's some homework for at some point today. There was a commercial where it was, and I don't remember the product it was for, but it was like Barbie driving in her Corvette, and then at some point Ken like jumped in and Barbie got rid of Ken or something. It was like a funny commercial that was probably from like 1997 or 1998, and they made it down at that studio, and I was doing some pilot for some ordinary, extraordinary, stupid sitcom thing, you know, variety show thing, pilot, and I went down there and like interviewed the guys who did it and stuff like that. I just have these vague memories of this kind of funny Henson Barbie live action, I mean not live action, but Barbie like doll
starter,
in the
yeah.
yeah in the Corvette commercial, probably from the, again, like 97, 98. Anyway, all right, The critics love it. Was it 82 or are we talking about 97 here? Now, Adam got out with his 5-point deduction and a big lead. Gina has been kind of, she's been chipping away at it. I'm in the mix. I don't feel like I'm in the lead. I'm just in the mix. So, I'm going to go, I'm not going to say it yet, but,
Adam Ray.
Go first, Adam Ray.
Okay. I love this movie. It's one of my faves. I think even at the time, I know that there's some Jim Henson films like Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal that did not, weren't really received well by the critics, but became cult classics. I know most of the Muppet movies are, you know, the ones done by Jim Henson. This one, Muppets Take Manhattan, Great Muppet Caper, are highly regarded. This was the first of the three. And again, pushed the envelope, did some big things, had a lot of great guest stars. Fucking Steve Martin is in it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go, and because I think the Muppets are not respected like they used to be, with good reason, because you don't have Jim at the helm. But I think this one is going to get its due cred, and I'm going to go 91%.
Mm. Well, I went 93. Gina?
Interesting. As Adam Ray was talking, I'm just going to say, yes, for all of the reasons Adam Ray said, and if you don't think we're Saponico, 91.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, the Muppet movie is certified fresh at 88%.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
And the people
solid
have it
across the board. Yeah. The
people have it at 88. All right. Well, I'm out. Now what?
Well, we all love consistency. Gina Grad, you are consistently on the podium single time. Adam Carolla with a score of 47.
Ooh, respectable.
Adam Ray coming in. 5-point deduction helped, but did it help enough? Adam Ray, your score is 23, leaving us with Gina Grad. Where on the podium will she fall? Gina Grad, in Bald Brian's absence,
wow,
you still cannot win. 29.
Oh,
Adam Ray takes it away.
No. Asterisk.
You know how we do it.
Adam Ray won by 6 points, by the way. So if we took away that 5-point deduction, he'd still win by uno.
Well, look, and there's a valuable lesson to be learned here, which is don't ever count yourself out, okay? Even when you get kicked out of the brothel for the third time in a row, go back in, tell them you left your ID in the urinal, okay? And that's when you get to pick up where you left things off with that girl, in quotes, who told you she wanted to be a rabbi. We'll be right back.
You think you found that Barbie commercial? What was it for?
Maybe. Let's see here.
By the way, that was a very extensive Barbie commercial, like that you were describing. Like you said, like Ken left Barbie at the altar. What was happening?
It was like Barbie kind of driving along, and that was for Nissan.
Yep.
Yes. Let's see this. It's a kid's dinosaur room with dinosaurs. And
oh yeah, this is great.
Yeah. So it shows like the GI Joe. Sees the Nissan. Incredible. Right. It's got the Nissan Z car. Hops into
is that
it.
Harrison Ford. Young Harrison off. Ford.
Gets his probably couldn't make this commercial today because he gets in a sports car, white guy, cisgender, and he's picking up a hot chick, and he's driving his car all the way through the house.
Right.
Now he steps out of the car. He's hitting up Barbie, who's in the Barbie house.
I mean, you can't, but. Is that the sister, or is that her? She just got ready real quick.
She got ready real quick. Oh, that's
he just cuckolded Ken.
Wait a second. Who was the guy at the end?
That was the guy who came up with the Z car. His name like Mr. P or something like that. He's got a long, crazy last name, Japanese, and probably not crazy if you live in Japan, but if you're from North Hollywood. All names are crazy.
And he definitely laughed. He definitely laughed and had a look on his face like he took all the ecstasy and he just saw that whole thing play out and saw the car drive away and was like laughing to himself because he's like, man, no one's going to believe what I just saw.
Yoshiko Matsuo or something. He was Mr. M or whatever he's called. He's the grandfather of the Datsun or Nissan Z car. And it made it to like 100 years old or something. I died super recently, or is he still alive? Gary's going to. He died at 86 and semi recently. So the grandfather of the Datsun Z was that guy.
But between Barbie's face and this guy's face, that's the whole spectrum of recognizable. I was like, oh, Barbie, who is that guy? Why would they put him in without explaining who it is? Or is it just for people in the know, in the Nissan know?
I don't know what. I think they call those Easter eggs. You know what I mean? It's just like it. I don't know. It's just it's cool. You're supposed to go look it up or something. I don't know. He was around. I mean, he died in July 2020. Just died then. Oh, did not see that on Entertainment Tonight. So I'm going to write a very stern letter to those people. Yeah. But in my world, that guy, because I have all the Datsun race cars, that guy was a big guy. And it was a cool commercial, but I don't know if you could, can you make that commercial anymore where the good looking white dude is like picking up the chick and I don't know.
And he pulls up and just gets her to leave her guy.
Someone would call it problematic.
Yeah, they would have to put closed course, do not attempt at
home. That's true. All right.
What do you think the conversation was like? 20 minutes down the freeway right after. I would have loved to have seen that, you know, like
with Indiana Jones and Barbie.
Yeah. Like, is she like, so just so you know, I do have to be back by like 10:30. I have to take my kids to school in the morning. And he's like, you just left your husband for me. We're not going back. And she's like, what? Mattel or whatever the Nissan. Yeah. Then you cut to.
Well,
they're already in the living room. There's no way home.
Where was that studio, Gary? Was that it was up north, and I can't remember. I remember it was like got on an airplane, went down there, was going to like interview the guys who made the commercial and whatever. It was a Jim Henson thing, but all right. Let me hit Mercari, and then we'll do some news. At the start of the new year, the amount of stuff in our homes hits its peak. Mercari, the marketplace app. Makes it easy to say goodbye to unused stuff and make money from home. Simply download Mercari, take a few pics of your stuff, add a description, and your item is on the way to being sold. No meetups, just box it up, and Mercari emails a shipping label. So you got a lot of extra stuff around the house. You don't want to throw it away. You may want to make a little extra money. So you go with Mercari, over 50 million downloads. You can start buying and selling when you download today. Use the app. You can get the app at the App Store or at Mercari.com. That is Mercari, Mercari, your marketplace. Where was that place? Do we know?
I'm still looking. Everything that comes up for the Jim Henson Studios says it's at Sunset and La Brea, but I'm still looking for the NorCal location.
All right. By the way,
unofficial.
A recommendation. I saw Prisoners last night with my son. 2013, Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Paul Dano. It's a good movie. Guys like the suspense kinds of thrillers and dramas and all that kind of stuff, then by all means.
You know who's really good at those? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
that guy has been in like. Did he win for Brokeback Mountain? I don't know. I feel
we
like
all
he,
won for Brokeback Mountain.
I love that we did, but he's always so solid. And there's a movie about L.A. cops that was almost like an indie film. He did.
We talked about it. I saw it recently.
Oh, man, yeah, he's just quietly amazing all the time.
He's great, but my son fucked up the entire movie for me because. I built this movie theater, my house. It has like a 12-foot screen.
It's unbelievable.
We're sitting right up front. And right at the top, my son goes, yeah, Gyllenhaal's great, but he's a long blinker. He does the blink, hold, and then up. And he holds it down. It's up. He's a long blinker. And I
That's
go,
a great
he
observation.
Is? He's like, yeah, he does the blink. Watch him blink. The whole fucking film. I'm just staring at Gyllenhaal. Oh, there he did it again. He did it again. like,
it ruined, way to torture
it,
you.
Completely ruined the movie for me because I kept just staring at him like it was a code or something to me. He does the long blink. I don't know what that is. It's if everyone else's blink is, you know, 1/10 of a second, his is 6/10 of a second. That's how the man blinks. And then
maybe it's an acting choice.
At some point, I started wrestling with it. I was like, well, maybe that detective blinks that way. You know what I mean? Maybe it's not Jake Gyllenhaal blinking. Oh, he did it again. He did it again.
Maybe it was maybe Donnie Darko blinks that way. End of Watch blinks that
way. You stay up all night watching every Gyllenhaal flick just to make a catalog of all the times he extra blinks.
Now,
yeah, I mean, every actor's got a tick like that. Maybe that's his.
Oh, he's the long. He holds it for a second and then pops it back up again. Yeah.
It does sound like a Seinfeld episode where, like, George can't go out with a girl because she's a long blinker.
It'll ruin every Jake Gyllenhaal film for you. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll come back. We'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime protest politics. Give me news with Gina Grass, the face on TMZ, Joe Biden, Kamala, meet news with Gina Grass.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, as Adam teased earlier, we have a new celebrity, let's say, on the chopping block for a new reason. Bachelor host Chris Harrison has announced he'll be stepping back from his duties on the ABC show due to what's being called an ongoing racism controversy that saw him on the receiving end of intense backlash this week. This is according to Fox. Harrison took to Instagram with a lengthy statement on Saturday, and I'll just give you a couple highlights in a second, to take accountability for his actions. Here's part of it. He says, well, this is the beginning. I've spent the last few days listening to the pain my words have caused. I'm deeply remorseful.
It's a pain.
Oh, wait till you. Yeah, hold on. My ignorance did damage to my friends, colleagues, and strangers alike. I have no one to blame but myself for what I said and the way I spoke. So what he's referring to is an appearance on Extra in an interview with Bachelorette alum Rachel Lindsay, who was the show's first Black female lead. In the interview, he defended current contestant Rachel Kirkconnell, after photos resurfaced of her attending an Old South themed party at a plantation in 2018. So he, you know, kind of tried to cut her some slack there. It didn't work. Harrison confirmed he will be stepping aside for a period of time and will not join the After the Final Rose special. He said he reached his decision by consulting with Warner Brothers and ABC. So he reached it.
He's now. It's kind of interesting because I was talking with August about this. Now we're at the point with the cancel culture, which is you cancel the person that did whatever the act was, like dressing up like Scarlett O'Hara.
Right.
But now we're at the point where if you go, oh, don't cancel her. We need to have more forgiveness. We need to be like, we don't need it. So if you're the person that says we don't need to cancel everyone, we need more grace, then your ass gets canceled too. So you're actually canceling the person and then the other person that says not to cancel them, which is basically what happened to Chris. I was kicking around this theory with August as we were screaming as old white guys like to do on the weekend about how fucking insane everyone has gone and how it's not the lunatics have taken over the asylum. The kids have taken over the asylum because what's going on now, like at the New York Times and all these places, all these kids that learned all this shit on college campuses, they're now entering the workforce and they are setting protocol for everyone who's been there for 40 years. So it's a whole group of snot-nosed piece of shit 26-year-olds who got fucking poisoned on college campuses. Now they're in the workforce and they're deciding what books can be published and what books can't be published and what op-eds can be run and what can't be run and what reporters with 45 years experience need to be shit canned because they're telling some story on vacation with some kids and he brought up the N-word because some kid brought it up to him and he's trying to put it in context. They're fucking in charge. I told you the children are our future. That is going to fuck everyone over 40. So when I was growing up, it was like, don't trust anyone over 30. That was the rallying cry. My new thing is fuck everyone under 40. Fuck you guys. You need to be told to shut the fuck up. They control social media. They're fucking taking everyone who's over 40 and just take them out to the fucking woodshed. But here's the thing. There's a new world order, which is we are approaching this. There used to be a convention to this stuff, like publicists would tell you and damage control people would say, they go, look, just write a statement, apologize, get out in front. You know, it was like, get out in front. They cancel your ass apology or not anymore. It's like the New York Times guy wrote, I'm so sorry. I should have never. Fine. We accept your apology. Now you're shit canned. See, it used to be apologize, get out in front. Do the press conference, and then you get to go back to work. You just have to. All they want is your apology.
Yeah.
They don't want your apology. They want your fucking job now. They want your soul. So you can't take the convention that the publicist, because that's 2000. That's 1999. Right? Just write a written apology and then offer an apology and then appease these people. But you can't fucking appease them because they don't want to be appeased. They don't want you to be, they don't want your apology. They want you removed from your livelihood. And there needs to be a new convention or a new approach to this when it comes to publicists. The only people that survive now are the ones that go, fuck you, I'm not apologizing. Like Charles Barkley is fine. Trader Joe's had some snot-nosed 17-year-old fuckstick from the San Francisco area go, hey, you need to get rid of all these taco shells and the pizza sauce and the, you know, Mamma Mia pizza sauce and the Thai food, whatever. And you know what Trader Joe's said? Fuck you, 17-year-old. We're not going to do shit. And guess what? Did anyone give a fuck?
No.
Are they going to go back to Trader Joe's? Because these guys work like fucking terrorists. Once they abduct the camera crew from CNN and you pay the ransom, guess what? More abductions. Don't pay the ransom. Don't fucking pay the ransom. Everyone do what Trader Joe's does and what Charles Barkley does. And they'll leave you alone because they're fucking feckless cowards who just want a fucking ounce of flesh. Don't give it to them. There should be no more apologizing. There really shouldn't. It doesn't work anymore.
When did it start? Because even when you look at like things with the guys in baseball with steroids, like they came out and kind of did a little thing. And then a lot of them got to go back in and play, right? Like A-Rod didn't really, he had to sit out a little bit and then he was allowed to go back. But is it different for sports versus like, we like more of the comeback story, I guess, with athletes. Yeah.
We used to want an apology. What I'm saying is they don't want your apology. They want your job.
Yeah.
They want
your canceled. When did that happen? When did the mob mentality of the people be like, we just want to take you down and that'll fill our void?
When the self-esteem movement kicked into high gear and all the fucking precious snowflakes made their way to college, who now then spread out into corporate America.
Right.
These are the groups. So when somebody runs an op-ed in the New York Times, the editor's fine and everyone over 40 is fine. It's all the 26-year-olds that get pissed off and say they're going to storm out. The new world order has to be, hey, storm the fuck out, pussies. Good luck. Go up the fucking street and get a job at the Inquirer. Don't let the fucking door hit you on the way out. It's a whole bunch of fucking young, fucking poison little kids with their super high self-esteem. How high does your self-esteem have to be for you to cancel somebody? This should be through the fucking roof. We decided that self-esteem was awesome. It is not. This is high self-esteem. This is all these fucking 24-year-old junior cub reporters going, not at the New York Times. It's been around for 170 years, but I'm 24. Not now. I say no. And then we listen to them.
Yeah.
No one should fucking listen. You know what the word should be? Hey, kids, zip it. Go back to your shitty cubicle. We'll do the thinking around here because we're senior and we've been here.
It doesn't matter. There is a lot to be said about just being on Earth longer and being able to like call the shots about, I don't know, worldly things, right?
It's all that demographic shit. Remember, it's like the number one demographic is 18 to 24. The number one you want to be, it doesn't, you know, who cares about Cume or numbers or whatever. You want to win that demographic. That demographic is 18 to 24. That young demographic. As soon as we started pitching all that, that's when the fucking kids got all, they're fucking horrible and they're drunk with power and there is no negotiating with them. They need to be fucking slapped. And I don't know why the adults don't want to act like adults, but they don't want to act like adults. Adults, start fucking acting like adults. Stop trying to be your fucking kid's best friend and start being a goddamn parent. How about that? Ugh.
Question for the crystal brain.
Hmm.
What comes next for the next generation? Do the 25-year-olds become 45 and go, oh God, what have we done? Or does the pendulum swing back the other way?
I hope
what's next?
They all OD on fentanyl. And we don't have this problem anymore. Right. But look,
I'll jot that down.
You raise your kid to be your best friend. You raise your kid not as the parent, but as buds. Then that fucking kid goes off to college and hangs out with a bunch of fucking like-minded retards. And do not expect it to stay on the college campuses. Those people who are infected are going right to the New York Times. They're going to ABC. They're going to Twitter. They're going to all the Fortune 500 companies. I talk to guys, like, I'll give you a real good example. I talked to a guy when Dr. Drew and I were doing our show. He was at Google. He is at Google. And he's a 50-year-old guy. And he's like, we were there when they were, like, canceling Parler the other week. And he's like, let me tell you what it used to be, like, back in the day, like the internet. Everyone was a libertarian. Everyone was like, the internet, open up, free exchange of ideas. There's no cancel culture for the guys that are 50. But he said, we got a bunch of fucking 26-year-olds that want to shut it down. They want to tell everyone what to say, what to think. And now they're in charge. And if you're the 50-year-old guy, you're going to get shit canned if you start speaking up. Where did these fucking kids come from? They came from families that raised them with super high self-esteem, that treated them like, you know, co-workers instead of parents and children. They made their way onto college campuses. The fucking poisoning continued. And now they're working at Google and they're calling the fucking shots. So there's one choice. Push back. Stop apologizing. Start fucking swatting these kids and telling them they don't understand life. You don't understand life when you're 23. Shut up. Let the adults do the thinking. But everyone apologizes and it doesn't help.
Yeah. Cut to the kid who makes millions of dollars opening toys on YouTube being the president in 20 years.
That's Ryan. Right.
Little His name's Ryan.
Trust me, I've seen so much of this kid in this house lately. Oh, he's the worst. In fact, I don't have a lot of rules here because, you know, we're pretty cool, me and the kid. But he knows that if we're going to watch something, no Ryan when I'm home. I can't watch it. I don't like it. And we don't watch it.
Adam, are you aware of this kid? Yeah.
No.
Ryan?
He makes about $30 million a year opening toys that companies send to him for free on YouTube.
How old is he?
Not,
like nine.
Yeah, but yeah. After taxes.
True.
I guess he's precocious. Thanks, but Adam, he's right. Not. He doesn't have star quality. I don't know why his face is on every target.
How did he get picked? But does he have a sense of entitlement when he's opening the toys? Like, does he scoff at like a new G.I. Joe? He's
I was going to say, worse. He has a sense of boredom.
Oh, you know? God.
Mm. Yeah. And speaking of not apologizing, I refer to my stepson as the kid or the little one or the 5-year-old. And that's, you know, a thing that I have no control over on a personal level. But somebody just tweeted me yesterday out of nowhere. I mean, it wasn't a debate or anything. Somebody said, I have it right here. And I think Gary has it. Gina, I love you. You know this. I don't know who this is, but some people feel that referring to their child as the kid is demeaning. Mm. I have had no response to this. I had a lot of responses in my head. Like, well, some people should go fucking fry ice. Go fuck yourself. Worry about your own kid. Like, I had so many things going through my mind. And I thought to give a tweet like this any attention is not something I'm going to do. He's my quote unquote kid, and we work our asses off to give him a good and healthy and stable life. And if you don't like the name I call him, go fuck yourself. I don't know what to tell you. We have a good family here. We have a perfect situation. There's a reason his privacy is protected. And yeah, you see, go eat a bag of dicks. I'm not cowering to this.
Well, first off, we're taping this on my people's Sabbath, so I'd appreciate you reeling in the language a little bit. You and Very Adam sorry. Wouldn't know. But this is my people's Sabbath. Number one, so watch the language. Number two, why don't you just switch to douche nozzle like I did?
Perfect.
I used to call my son kid a lot. I got a little heat on the internet, so I just swapped it to douche nozzle.
That's, you know what? That might be next, because nobody's more loved or protected than this child. And there's a reason for that. So yeah, go pound sand, everybody.
Dr. Phil, I prefer people stop calling people a douche bag and call them a douche nozzle, because I feel like the bag is far away, but the nozzle's really the business end. You know,
you're exactly right. And I'm glad you brought this point up, because it's something that's been on my mind, okay, for the last six seasons, which is the bag is full. We filled up the bag with douche, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to find another way to express our hatred and genuine anger towards others, but still in a fun way. Mm-hmm. Douche nozzle. Sounds like, you know, first of all, it sounds like a Nick Jr. character. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what sort of voice douche nozzle would have. He'd probably have, you know, kind of a, he's somewhat of a loner type, but he's packing heat downstairs. If you know what I'm saying, wink, wink, huge cock, but he's, you know, it's, if we can start calling each other names that make us laugh at the same time, then I think we can start progressing in a way. And if I may, Gina, calling him the kid is in my eyes, kind of a heroic thing. When I think of the kid, I think of the Disney movie, The Kid with Bruce Willis. I think of Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh.
Okay. Both great things. Okay. So that's a great nickname to have. And first of all, and lastly, it's your fucking business. So whoever tweeted that to you can suck on a douche nozzle. Okay.
Nice.
Can eat that bag of dicks that Adam said that are probably on sale at Trader Joe's. Okay. And then you can take your own thumb, put it up your own ass. Okay. Count to 20. And when you get to 19, pull it out, and poke yourself in the eye. We'll be right back.
Phil, I should tell you, I don't think you heard this, but it is my people's Sabbath today, and I'd really kind of appreciate the language.
Oh, God down a fucking bit. Christ, almighty fucking cocksuck, fuck, I'm so fucking sorry. God shit and fucking, God damn it. You know what? I fucking told myself to not fucking curse on this show today, but fucking shit. My bad. Fuck.
Kid is also.
I am in a breakfast nook. I'm in a complimentary breakfast room, so it's. I guess I felt safe. It's a safe space.
Yeah.
Kid is a great Pretender song, by the way. Those should know.
And you know, I wasn't going to say this because I never thought it would come up, but if I can just put a finer point on this, and I should pull his baseball glove out because it's monogrammed on there. Had that done. We don't even call him by his name in this house. We don't call him by his name when we're referring to him. I made up a nickname for him a long time ago, and we all call him that, and he calls himself that.
That's awesome.
And we call him Kid Boy.
A little redundant, but good.
But that's what's so funny about it. And he goes, why do you call me that? I go, you're boy. You're Kid Boy.
And that's something that you guys came up with together, so it's extra special.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, instead of having a name pre-G.
Exactly. So we all have nicknames. I'm wearing, he got me a Valentine's bracelet right now with the initial L on it, because he doesn't call me Gina. We have nicknames for each other. So everyone, go fuck.
Yeah, I call my stepdad Better Dad, and then I call, I call my my brother-in-law, Dirte, Captain Queef. So it's like there's all, but that's only because he has a new song out. And I think it's called that.
Oh.
By the way, Dirte posted something on Facebook yesterday that said, a picture of a mic, and it said, the asshole is back. Get ready. Hashtag, I think, Judgment Day. I'm paraphrasing. It was ominous. It was scary. It was Dirte. Check it out.
I call my stepdad Fake Dad, but... All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, you know, let's go from one end of the spectrum of people we don't respect to people we do respect. And it's a condolence. Danny Ray, he was the man who opened 1,000 curtains for James Brown. He draped the sequined velvet cape over James Brown. He has died at the age of 85. Daniel Brown Ray, he was born 1935, Birmingham, Alabama, and his death was confirmed by James Brown's daughter, who called him the original hype man. And I'm going to play you a clip where I think we can all agree that that's true. Ray's cape routine started in 1962 and helped cement Brown's flamboyant image even before he catapulted to worldwide celebrity as the godfather of soul. You know, he always do the bit where he's, you know, he can't get up and the cape's draped around him. And it was just this great performance. But he gets less credit for being the man who would bring James Brown out on stage. And here's a clip of one of many of these appearances.
I'd like to know one thing. Are you ready for the Super Brother? Are you ready for the Super Brother music for the soul? He's black aphotic, dynamic, heritage, and funky. Music, music, music for the third world. Ladies and gentlemen, doing it on his good foot, Super Brother himself. He's got a bag of his own. Ladies and gentlemen, Soul Brother number one, James Brown!
You know, it'd be the worst hype person in the world. My mom. My mom would be like,
it's debatable.
A lot of people think my son's funny, but he's, I think he's, well, I don't know if he's here because he has to be. Anyway. Obviously, we disagree on many things politically, but he was, he's, his kids are, one of them likes him. So even though we didn't really know he was funny when he was growing up, even though we lived in a small house together, we never, but now apparently others will pay to hear him talk, which is so different, so foreign for us, but maybe we know another side of him. But anyway, he's going to be out here. He's going to do an hour, and you know, should some of that? I am not familiar with the material, but I think I probably disagree with a lot of it. But anyway, my son Alan. Oh, I'm sorry,
Adam.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm not used to public speaking. Adam,
is he?
Yeah, Adam. Adam's going to come up here, and I don't know. Wow, we used quite the right term, but you're here, so I guess you like him. Anyway, Alan.
Adam.
Okay, Adam. Where's your stepdad, John? Is he back? Is he in the green room? Okay. Oh, fake dad. Okay. All right. Well, my. Corolla's his father's name, and we're divorced, so, but he still, you know what, here he is, and we're going to enjoy as much of the act as it takes us to get out to the lobby, because John wants a latte, and then what we'll do is we'll just, all right, here he goes. That would be my mom.
Oh my God.
The great Chris Corolla.
What's sad is I would pay more to go see that show.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
That's classic.
Dennis Prager said to me when we were doing this event in Arizona, he said when he was like 20, he came out the book or something, and they came out like a big cardboard cutout picture of him. And he said his mom took the big cardboard promotional book thing, cardboard cutout picture, and put it in the house where they lived in Brooklyn. And he said, does your mom have a big picture of you in her house? And I said, my mom doesn't have a picture of me in her head.
Well done.
Oh,
yes. Good. And I mean it. All right. She'll be missed, even though she's still here. Let's bring it home, Gina Grant.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina, Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, we got Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. How about you get your bundle going with Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle those policies. You take your automotive policy and you bundle it up with your homeowners or your renter's insurance. You go to geico.com, you get a quote, you see just how much you could save. And Geico makes it so easy. So visit geico.com today. Get your bundle started at geico.com. The great Adam Ray, Young Rock premieres tomorrow on, is it NBC? Straight ahead.
NBC. Yeah. NBC.
Congratulations. Also, live dates, March 5th, 6th, The Rock Box, San Antonio, Texas, and then March 13th through, sorry, March 11th through the 13th, Hyenas, Dallas. So God bless you. And the podcast about last night. Always great to talk to Adam Ray.
This was awesome.
And you can catch me February 26th, 27th, Oklahoma City, Bricktown Comedy Club. We'll do some live pod there and some stand-up there as well. You go to AdamCarolla.com and find out about all the live dates. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Adam Ray saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Supporting Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at AdamCarolla.com.
Deep within the bowels of hell, the devil scrolls through Instagram and TikTok looking for fresh souls to enslave.
Yo, what's up, my jits? It's your boy, Jaden Extra, here with some...
Who are these people?
Easy pickings for possession, your Lord Darkness.
They are truly unbearable.
I believe they refer to themselves as influencers. Do you have anyone particular in mind?
Money, money, money!
Him!
My numbers are way down, babe. I need to change it up. Didn't you see that Halloween video Machine Gun Kelly made with the devil? He's like huge now, all because he sold his soul to the devil. This could be my big chance.
I'm not having this conversation. It's wrong, Jaden, and it's evil.
I'm done with the drama, Fem. Just leave, all right? And you're not coming to Cabo with me.
I hate you!
Hey, y'all, it's Fem.
What's up, it's Jaden.
What's up? It's Carly Hansen.
Hey, y'all. It's Oliver Tree.
Yo, what's going on? It's Ian Dior, and we all know Valentine's Day is the most romantic time of the year.
Whatever. My friends and I are about to turn the whole holiday upside down in our new scripted holiday series, Valentine's Day in Hell.
Are you familiar with the work of Anton LaVey?
Is he on TikTok?
No, he's not on TikTok, you dumbass. Anton Xandor LaVey. He's the dude who founded the Church of Satan. I'm starting to fear that maybe you're messing with powers that are far beyond your cognitive comprehension, Jaden.
I got it, bro. I've seen a version of this movie 20 times. You're like the badass demon hunter, and I'm just some little jit who is messing around with things he doesn't understand. And in the end, I'll get all messed up, and it will be up to you to, like, save me.
I wanna save you, but I can't even save myself. Can you even save?
First, we spent Halloween in Hell. Now, you're invited to be a part of our next musical podcast from our In Hell series.
This time around, the devil is playing games with all of our hearts, trying to ruin our Valentine's Day plans by dragging us down to the fiery inferno in the deepest depths of hell.
Demons! Place a hood over Jaden and escort him to hell.
This is your fault, Oliver. I know Jaden came to you for help.
Satan has picked Jaden for some reason. Now it's up to us to make this right. So who's with me?
I'm with you, Oliver.
I'll go.
What about you, sad girl?
I'll kill some people if that's what you want.
Then that leaves you, Clappy.
Count me in, Oliver. Besides, I ain't got nothing to do. Might as well spend my Valentine's Day in hell.
In each episode, you're going to hear new original music from artists like Ian Dior,
Jaden,
Carly Hansen, and me, Fem. Subscribe to the Valentine's Day in Hell podcast for full episodes, bonus material, and original music.
This February, check out Valentine's Day in Hell.
Brought to you by Audio Up and Podcast One.
available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.